This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Pink and blue, that's what we usually think of for girls and boys. But what if you have one of each? Do you have to decorate your baby's room in pink and blue? What other options are there? And how can you update their room as they move on to becoming preschool and school-age kids? We're here with interior designer Rachel Crawford to talk about decorating your boy-girl twins' nurseries and bedrooms. This is Twin Talks.
The ultrasound shows your babies to be healthy.
What? Did you say babies? You're huge. Are you having twins?
Are they natural?
Which one do you like better?
Twins, huh? My neighbor's cousin's brother's uncle's a twin.
So can they read each other's minds?
How do you tell them apart?
Twins? You got a two for one.
Do twins run in your family?
Double trouble.
You're not having any more, are you?
At least you're not Octomom.
If you're pregnant with twins or you're an experienced twin parent, odds are you've heard it all before. Now it's time to hear from the experts. This is Twin Talks, Parenting Times 2. Well, welcome to Twin Talks. Twin Talks is your online, on-the-go support group for expecting and new parents of twins. I'm your host, Christine Stewart Fitzgerald. Have you subscribed to the Twin Talks newsletter? It's a great way to learn about new episodes when they're released. And if you want episodes automatically downloaded to your mobile device, then please subscribe to our show through iTunes or download free Twin Talks app. Well, here's Sunny with details on how you can get involved with Twin Talks.
All right. So hi, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. We want all of the twin, triplet, quadruplet, whatever you have out there, parents, to participate in our shows. It's so much more fun when you join us and when you're part of the conversation. So the best way to do that is head on over to our website at newmommymedia.com. There's a banner there. Click on it. You can fill out a quick little form that just tells us a little bit more about you so we can reach out to you. You can also join our Facebook group where we post all of our topics and times. The other thing you can do is tell other multiples or parents of multiples about our show. So we're really trying to get the word out there. There's not a lot of twin information online, and so we think this is a great resource for parents. So if you happen to be heading out and going to a play date or something like that, just mention it. You can point them to our website, or we have a Facebook page, Twitter page, all that good stuff where they can check out more information. We'd love to help them out as well.
All right. Well, let's meet our parents who are joining our conversation today. So let's tell us a little bit about yourself and your family and your experience with today's topic. So, we'll start with Brandy.
Well, hi. My name is Brandy, and I have two sets of twins. I have 6.5-year-old identical boys, and I have 3.5-year-old boy-girl fraternal twins.
So you've got a mix of everything.
One of each kind of set of twins.
You had to be fair there, Brandy.
It's a twin buffet. Yes, I had to be fair. And so yes, this is a very timely topic for me. The olders are in kindergarten and the youngers are starting preschool, and we're changing up everything. So can't wait to hear what Rachel has to say.
And I'm Sunny. I am producing today's show, and I'm a twin mom as well. I have two older singletons, a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old, and my twins are my littlest children, my youngest children. I have identical girls who are 2.5 years old, and I kind of went crazy with the pink once they came around. Yeah. Their room looks like it's been doused in Pepto-Bismol. I was just so excited after having two boys to have two girls. So I just kind of fell into the trap that, you know, I went very, very gender specific with my colors, and I'm sure that's going to haunt me in the future.
And let's see. And so I'm your host, Christine Stewart Fitzgerald, and my girls are 6 years old. They're identicals. We have kind of, I guess you could say, sort of green, and then we went early on with trying to, I guess, sort of assign them colors for everything. And of course, it never works out that they want the colors. I mean, we were going with orange and pink, but then they decided their colors were pink and purple, as you know, like the girls, pretty stereotypical. But so we're actually in the process of kind of upgrading to the pink and purple. And then I have a singleton who's 3, and so she's
I was trying to push orange onto her, but, you know, she's not liking it so much. So we're going to try to be inclusive, you know. I mean, I'm trying to be not so stereotypical, but, you know, what can you say? And our expert today, Rachel, I know you've been doing interior design and you're a mom yourself.
Yes, I have two boys. They are 5 and almost 4.
And I was thinking with your website, Molly Quinn, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, you've got a girl, but, you know,
Oh. Yeah, no, a good friend of mine, her daughter was Molly and my son's Quinn. And at first we were making children's clothing, and I've had design in my background, and I decided to sort of morph Molly Quinn into interior design. So that's where Molly came in.
I love the backstory and everything. Well, I like the name Molly Quinn. I just think it's catchy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so before we dive into our episode today, we like to talk about headlines that have to do with parents of multiples, and this one has to do with a triplet family. At the time, they didn't know they were going to be a triplet family. So there was a mom from England, and she happened to be in Florida at the Magic Kingdom, which is what, the happiest place on earth? Isn't that what it's called? That's the tagline, right? Mm-hmm. And she was riding a bunch of rides, and she was starting to feel kind of like, I don't know, nauseous and stuff like that. And she just kind of blamed it on, you know, just kind of going on a bunch of rides. And she just wasn't able to shake it even after getting off the rides and stuff like that. And at some point, she thought it was a good idea to take a pregnancy test. And that turned out to be a pregnancy with triplets. So, yeah, this article is just kind of talking about her experience a little bit. And I guess she did a follow-up a while after, kind of sharing her story, like after the triplets were born. And she took some pictures of them and kind of explained what happened to her. And then it says, let's see, she named them Mickey, Minnie, and Pluto. No, I'm just kidding. I think that their names were, let me see, Dolly, Annie, and Gerard. So no, she didn't pick the Disney names. But I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this. It doesn't have anything really to do with triplets or twins. But every time I go to amusement park and I get sick and it doesn't go away after a while, I wonder. I actually think exactly what this mom thought. I'm like, should I take a pregnancy test? Is this pregnancy, or am I just like not feeling really well because of this crazy ride that I was just on? So I don't know. I don't know why I do that, but yeah, it's just kind of a funny thing. So not to scare everyone out there, because, you know, it could just be a little nauseous from riding the teacups a little bit too much. But I don't know if it persists, take a pregnancy test. I don't know. What do you guys think, Christine?
Yeah, I know. I think, well, you know, gosh, the nausea. I mean, thankfully, I didn't have too much nausea. I mean, and I drank a lot of ginger beer and it was good with that. But yeah, if it was like persistent, I don't know. I mean, but, you know, I have to say, a lot of people, you know, they do crazy stuff at, you know, roller coasters, and then they're going to try to, you know, blame. It is a roller coaster. So,
Well, we all know being pregnant with twins really is a roller coaster, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Well, we're here today with Rachel Crawford, who specializes in designing kids' rooms through her company, Molly Quinn. And we're talking about the challenge of decorating a single room for boy-girl twins. Well, welcome back, Rachel. I know we've had you on the show a while back, and you know, we couldn't get enough, so we wanted more.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so good to have you. So, you know, I mean, we look up a lot of stuff about decorating, and it's so easy to think, okay, well, let's do these colors, girls and boys. But I mean, are there any rules for a shared space with the opposite sex twins?
Well, I would start off with doing a neutral base color for your walls, because that's really going to incorporate both sexes. And then we can pop off colors off of that. So they're still included, but they still have their own separate, you know, color schemes if you want to add a little pink or a little bit of blue, but it's totally not necessary.
I mean, that's a good point, because I think sometimes we think, oh, we have to paint the whole entire nursery one color. And I've seen some pictures of rooms where it's like pink and it's just gosh, overload. It's like,
yeah, whoa. That would be my room. That would be my girl's room right there. I actually did do some accent walls, but I think one was a very light color pink and the other one's like a very light tan. But it still came out a little darker. And because everything else in the room is like a light pink, I still feel like it's a little too much.
Yeah. So I would do like maybe a gray, or even an aqua is really pretty. White is really nice, because it's just really clean and everything sort of pops off of that.
Rachel, what are your thoughts on these boy-girl twins that I have a set of? Dividing the room in half and painting each half of the room a completely different color. And I'm not suggesting that I do this. I just saw it on the TV show Blackish, because they have boy-girl twins in the show. And I was looking at design. And maybe it's just made more for TV effect than reality. But I wanted to see what you think.
I think I would like something that is including both, like the wall color to include both of them, so they're both in the same space. Otherwise, I think if it's split in half like that, you're really splitting them into their own spaces, and it's not so much a shared space. It's more like a divided space, even though it's one room.
Cool. So keep it open, keep a neutral color, and then you're saying like using accent colors.
Yeah, using accent colors, or using a lot of texture and using patterns and layering all of that on top of each other, but not necessarily cutting the room in half, unless that's something that you... if that's an intention that you really want to provide. But I think for the TV show, it might be, I think it's really striking because it's so, there's a line there and you can kind of see both sides.
Right. And would it also have the visual effect of making the room feel smaller to do that?
Yeah, because you divide the room up in half. So you've really created two mini rooms.
I'm having the image of, you know, like the roommates that can't stand each other and they're like drawing the line right down the middle. Do not cross over.
Yeah,
this
it just doesn't feel very inviting to the other twin to come over into the other space. It's kind of like, this is where I am and you got to stay over there and you're not invited. Like the boys club, girls club.
So now, okay, so do we have to use pink or blue, or,
no.
You know, what are some other ideas for?
No, you definitely don't have to use the pink and blue. Like I said, going with the neutral color as your base and then adding to it. So if you wanted to do a theme like animals or woodland or forest or the circus, I mean, there's all these opportunities for all these colors to come into play. And if you wanted to play more towards a girl on one side and a boy on another, you can do that with like the lines of the crib. So maybe the girl's crib has more of a feminine feel where it's curvy, and then the boy's crib is, you know, more straight lined.
I like that. So it's just kind of it's very subtle.
Right. Like you can tell, like when you look at it, oh yes, that's just where, you know, Emily is sleeping, and this is where Ben sleeps, just from the lines of the furniture.
That's an interesting thought. And I guess you're saying like if you did like a forest, maybe you have, you know, maybe more pine trees or something. And then maybe the girl side has a few extra little flowers. And
yeah, maybe she has like some little fairies or some things going on over on her side. Or maybe her mobile is, you know, more soft and floral, and his is, it's not so much. It's more of like the deer or the bears. Or so there's different ways of incorporating the feminine and the masculine without being, you know, those two colors.
Now that's a great idea. And, you know, maybe you can even talk about, you know, what are some other, you know, some general themes that, you know, might be really, you know, great ideas to think about, even like forests. What are some other ideas that work well for both boys and girls?
The circus theme is really cute. Even bringing in like, you know, you can bring in animals with that. You can bring in little ballerinas with that. The other thing is to look around your house, because you can incorporate your own style into the space. So like a mid-century modern style nursery would be really cute, or like a little boho thing, or if you're by the beach and having a little beachy or surfy theme. So kind of looking around your house, if you're more contemporary, maybe we bring in more clean lines and update the color palette.
You know, that's a really great point, because I think so often we get into this trap that, like, okay, I might have a very clean, modern, you know, mm-hmm. house, but oh, my kid's room has to be very, I don't know, shabby chic, let's right. just say.
Yeah, so. They totally don't flow. So yeah, so you can modernize your nursery so that it's more toward the personality of, you know, your family versus what you think it needs to be.
Rachel, do we have any, like, information about, like, you know, we all go for these theme things, mm-hmm. but like you guys were just talking about, we don't really necessarily do that with the rest of our house. Right. And I'm just wondering, do we have any information on, do kids just really like themes? Does it somehow help them in some way want to go to their room? Like, why do we go to this theme thing? Why can't it just be, you know, just some different colors, or, you know, we're going to go stripes, or, I mean, I don't know. Why do we do that?
I think we've always done it. Like, it's just probably something that's just been passed down, or we want to create an identity space for the child. And we just think, oh, well, they must like little baby things. So we kind of throw that stuff in there. But I don't know exactly where that comes from, but I don't think it needs to be like that. And I've seen lots of nurseries where we're not doing that. You know, we're really incorporating the lifestyle of the family in the house and really mm-hmm. making it blend, because you don't want to have your child stick out either. Like, if their room is totally off from the rest of the yeah. house, it's like you've just separated them.
Right.
So we don't have to go down the road of having really bold, bright colors in the nursery, mm-mm. even though the rest of our house is pretty neutral.
Right. Yeah, I would kind of follow the lead of your home. And then you can always add those fun aspects and the art or the toys, because that's where you can really do it. So maybe there's this place in your home that you're like, you know, I really wanted that one piece of art, but I just think it's just too bright for me, or I'm kind of scared of it. This is a perfect place to put it.
And I think, you know, you're talking a lot about accessories and, mm-hmm. and layering. And so what are some of the different kinds of things that you might put in a room that might add color? I mean, let's say we do have a neutral type of home.
Right. And so you could do a piece of art in there above the crib or above the changing table. Another place to put something with color could be the light fixture. Like, if you're doing a chandelier or a light fixture in the center of the room, that could be really fun. You could also put in some color up on the ceiling. Like, if you wanted a bright color, maybe we do a bright yellow or blue or something up on the ceiling. So it's not overpowering, but it's kind of fun and quirky. Or in an area rug is also really fun. You can do lots of color in the area rug. And then when you're kind of tired of it, you roll it up and give it away, sell it. Or pillows.
I never really thought about painting the ceiling. I mean, I don't know. Is everyone looking up at their ceiling right now? I'm like, what color is? I mean, it's usually kind of like an off-white or something mm-hmm. like that. I always thought that made it seem more, I don't know, open. I don't know if there's any truth to that. I have actually painted ceilings before, and it felt more closed. But yeah, it just right. kind of got me thinking about that when you said paint the ceiling.
Paint the ceiling. It brings the ceiling down, so it might not feel so big for the kids' space, just in their own personal area. We've also done wallpaper up there, which is really cool, because they're, you know, as a baby, you're laying down looking up a lot of the time, as long as it's not too crazy and wild where you're not able to get sleep, but, you know, something kind of fun. Or even if you have somebody paint a little scene in the corner, or little surprises here and there, could be quirky.
Mm-hmm. Or you can paint, you know, I'm thinking like the sky, you mm-hmm. know, and you put sort of the That's clouds cool. up there, you know. And I know my girls now we put up those little glow in the dark stars, so mm-hmm. they have that at night. Yeah. So but we just have a boring white ceiling. But you know, maybe that's kind of a fun idea to, you know, think, okay, create a sky.
And yeah, and you could put, you could put a pattern that's not, you know, too loud, but just like a subtle texture or a pattern or a stripe, or kind of an unexpected place to add a little.
Yeah. Fun. Wow. Now, I mean, you know, I like these ideas of something that they're relatively inexpensive. They're not major investments, because I think so often we see, gosh, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm expecting twins and I have to go out and I have to buy all this mm-hmm. furniture. And even the bedding can be so expensive. You know, when you look at all these matching sets with the blankets and the bumpers and the sheets and the rugs, and it's like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh. So, you know, I like that idea that sometimes you can get just splashes of color in other things that maybe, you know, they're maybe a little bit more durable, or you can use that to transition into whatever right. the next thing is. And it's not going to be a huge outlay in cash, especially when you're buying two of it.
Right. Yeah. And I like to use toys as decoration, or, you know, as an accessory. So it's not just a toy, but it's actually part of the decor in the room.
And also the other thing to keep in mind is, you know, a lot of people that may be listening to this, you may not be able to make these big changes. If you're renting your place or you're thinking about having more kids in the future and you know you're going to have to get a bigger house. I mean, a lot of this painting and stuff like that, you might not be able to do that. So I really like the idea of adding little things here and there, little pops of color, things you can swap out pretty quickly because either you may get tired of it or probably most likely your kids are going to get tired of it. And then it's just really easy to, you know, to change things without like a major, major commitment.
Yeah. Now, you know, we were kind of talking about sort of like creating that sort of the blank space and, you know, that you can add different things. And I don't know, does anyone have any other sort of like themes that they've, you know, thought of or they're considering using that might work well with the boy girl twins?
You could do like the black and white thing and have it be like the Baba black sheep sort of theme incorporated into it, which would be kind of cute.
Yeah. So you could black and white with maybe little splashes of color somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. What about, okay, has anybody thought of like, I mean, sort of a Western theme, like, you know, maybe like a cowgirl, cowboy kind of thing? I don't know.
That's cute. For my kids, I would like turn into Toy Story like really quickly, I think. it might be cowboys and space rangers.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I'm actually in the process of shopping for new bedding to my youngest twins' cribs converted to toddler beds, and was for them was just taking the front side off, and now they're in a, you know, three-sided day bed kind of situation, and we haven't changed anything. It's still they're basically in their cribs with the same crib sheets, and nothing's changed, and we're ready to make that big kid beds and twin sized beds and new bedding. And I've never did the boy girl pink blue thing, so I'm actually kind of tempted to do it now before they have too much of an opinion about it. but especially my little girl loves everything. I feel like I want to give her something pink, but not alienate my son. I actually found one set where they had a princess pink, you know, frilly girl thing. And the company also sold like a knight with swords and shields that was gray. Wow. It sort of would be like a cute pink gray. And we have the beige walls right now. So we have that neutral wall you were talking about, Rachel. So it actually might work, but
yeah.
I just want to make sure they don't outgrow it too soon because it needs to sort of stick with us for a while.
Yeah. And kind of speaking with like with those neutral walls again, doing maybe the sheet set itself is not so themed, but you know, the gray or the pink or the white or whatever, and then throwing it off with like an accent pillow, mm-hmm. or like a pink throw that maybe has like, you know, ruffles and like pom-poms or whatever. So again, just throwing those accessories and making those pieces pop so that you can change that out, but you're going to keep this actual sheet set, you're going to keep like the duvet, you're going to keep, you know, the basics, but you're just going to switch out sort of the themes.
That's why you're the pro. That's amazing. Thank you.
I'm sure you could incorporate, like, you know, castles. I mean, everybody loves castles.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can even do, like, those temporary decals. You know, you can get them on Etsy or whatever, and they can do a castle that you stick on your wall, and then a couple years later, if they're tired of it, you just peel it off.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of decals. Yeah, and they've got tons of great stuff online if you Google that. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of stuff where, I mean, we did sort of a flower theme and with flowers and fairies and caterpillar kind of thing. But I did see like, you know, castles, and I think I've even seen like space, you know, like, you know, rockets, and it's like, it's all out there. You imagine it and it's there. But yeah, and that makes it so affordable that instead of having to bring in some, you know, mural artists.
Right. Get all crazy.
Well, and you can also get them really personalized too. I don't know if you guys have seen those online. We did that for my girls' rooms where their names are written in script right above their crib. And it's, yeah, like you would never know. I mean, unless you got right up on it, but it looks fantastic. And it looks like someone came in and painted it. And, you know, and it was nice, especially when they were younger and they really were staying in their cribs, where, you know, if people were helping us care for the kids or whatever, they would know who's who based on, you know, where they were. They're under their name. That's their crib. So, yeah. So you can definitely personalize it and kind of get the feel for what you want.
Yeah. And I was going to say another thing I came across too, because all I'm doing in my searching is just looking at all these websites to see what's out there and then sort of piece it together, because that to me is easier than I think I would like to have XYZ and then I can't ever find it. So another thing I came across were a boy girl bedding. They were in the same colors, but they had different themes to them. So the boy was gray, black, and red fire trucks, and the girl was gray, black, and red ladybugs. So the whole room would be red, black, gray, white, but two different things. And I haven't been willing to pull the trigger on that one because I just don't know if that would just be too much for a small space because they share a small space.
I don't know. Rachel, what are your thoughts?
The thing that I would think that would be a lot is the red. So maybe minimizing how much red goes in that space because red is a really active color, especially for sleeping. So I would just be aware of where the red actually goes. So maybe not doing red sheets and bedding, but maybe there's red.
Okay.
You know, maybe there's a red decal or something that's necessarily near the bed. I know it's the bed's kind of everywhere, but I would minimize the red.
I don't need anybody more hyper than they already are, Rachel.
Yeah.
And that's true. And Rachel, we should mention that you also do, I mean, you do adult spaces as well as kids spaces, and you're certified in Feng Shui.
Feng Shui.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So I know you're when you're making these recommendations, you're looking at it from kind of just the energy level.
Yes.
And as well, those dynamics. So yes, we don't want kids bouncing off the walls.
Yeah.
We want good nap times.
Exactly. Yeah. Calming colors.
Calm colors. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Don't leave me hanging, Rachel. What are the calm colors? You've got to tell me. What are they?
There are the blues and the greens, anything kind of that reminds you of sort of water, anything watery, calm, think of a calm, awesome. You know, ocean or water. Yeah. So reds are really active. Yellows are anxious. Orange is also really active. So I'd kind of stay away from the fiery, hot colors, but go more toward the cool ones. And not to say you can't put red in there somewhere. I mean, you can. Just be aware of where you're placing it and not to do too much of it.
Thank you.
Ah, so right now we know, okay, Star Wars is really hot. Mm-hmm. So I've been seeing like Star Wars, Luke and Leia, like everywhere. And for twins, you know, have you done anything or seen anything as far as incorporating some of the fun twin pairs into bedrooms?
I haven't personally done any of the Star Wars bedrooms, but I could see bringing in like the stars and the galaxy and kind of that sort of funness. And then if we wanted to actually bring in the characters, maybe they come in, you know, maybe like the mobile is the Death Star or something. I don't know, something kind of fun or accessories like with the toys, putting them in certain areas of the room. But I could really see the whole night sky Cosmo thing taking off.
We did something for a playroom. It wasn't for, you know, a bedroom situation, but a playroom. We kind of had some light colors in there, and we got back to the decals because I'm such a big fan of decals. We got a bunch of decals for Sesame Street, and it was really cool because the colors in the room were pretty neutral. We didn't like go crazy like red walls or anything like that. So, but the naturally Sesame Street has these amazing colors for all their characters,
yeah.
And it was really cool. I mean, these were like huge decals. Where like Big Bird was like literally like Big Bird almost, you know, and so it really was a cool way to incorporate characters. But like I said, without, you know, really having to go all out with crazy paint and stuff like that.
Right.
And it almost sounds like so Rachel, when you talk about sort of this creating the space, I mean, like, okay, Star Wars is really hot right now, but
right. Okay,
maybe 3 years from now, people are going like, I'm kind of bored with it. I want something new. With your suggestion, if you'd create sort of that neutral background and do stars, then maybe
right. 3
years from now, you could make it into just, you know, different kinds of space. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if you've got just a neutral palette, it could sort of morph or evolve into something else. And you're not, you know, locked into just these characters.
Right. Yeah. And that's also where like those decals come in, because I'm even looking online and there's some really cool Star Wars decals that are pretty impressive. And then once you're tired of that, I would just take that off the wall, maybe put a different decal on or just change it up completely with different colors with the bedding and pillows and, you know, window panels or whatever.
So that's great. Yeah. And again, it makes it a lot more affordable.
But even like a little Star Wars mobile is cute because you're only going to use that probably the first year or two. So that's going to come out anyway. So kind of just looking at things that are temporary.
The one thing I will say about decals, though, and one thing that we kind of struggled with and actually still kind of do, is if you put them in the kids' room when they're too young and they don't really appreciate it necessarily, and it's like at their level, like if it's too low, I spent tons of time. I would get so upset because I would go in there and Cookie Monster was in a ball and I was just like, are you kidding me? I mean, thankfully, we have like textured walls so I could like take it and kind of smooth it out. No one would know any differently. But that's one thing I will say that, you know, if you've got kids that love to take stuff off walls, just make sure they can't reach it, you know, or there's something stopping them from getting a little too close to those decals and you know, kind of destroying them.
You know, yeah, that's an excellent point. Like, you know, we went with the kind of sort of the forest theme and flowers, and it used to have a lot more butterflies than it does now.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Well, we're going to take a break, and we come back. We're going to talk about how to change rooms up when they get a little bit older.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money, up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Well, welcome back. Today we're talking with Rachel Crawford of Molly Quinn about decorating boy-girl twins' rooms and switching them up as they grow. So, you know, we've been talking about sort of the toddler and then baby and toddler twins, but as they grow, usually, you know, we have to change out the furniture. Like Brandy mentioned, we go from cribs to toddler beds and then to bigger size beds. I mean, are there other sort of modifications that we need to make as they get bigger and moving preschool and school age?
The only other thing that would really strike me is bringing in a desk for the little ones, because you might have already had like a shared table and chair. So maybe we do their own individual desk so that they have their own space. And maybe there's a part in the closet that's actually, you know, one or the other so that they can put their clothes and their shoes and their things separated. The only other thing as well is like the changing tables. I think early on, I like to use more like dressers so that you don't have an actual changing table that you're then getting rid of and buying a dresser. So if you kind of start that at the beginning, then you don't have to switch up too much besides the bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did the same thing too. We kind of strapped on the changing pad on the top of a dresser, and now it is just the dresser.
You're here. Yeah. Same thing.
And you know, to your point about kind of the closet space, I know like my girls are six now, and I've been really pushing them to clean up after themselves. And the biggest challenge we have is picking things up off the floor. I mean, I feel like I'm pulling my hair out, just like, okay, pick up your clothes, hang them up. So I don't know if you have any suggestions about just kind of how to help facilitate them being independent in that way and picking things up.
Yeah. So like with their clothes, I would just make sure that they're at a height where they can actually reach and put things away. Because if they can't actually put it away, if it's too high or whatever, they're not going to. Mm-hmm. And then dividing up, okay, these are where your shoes go, these are where your shoes go, so that they're not blaming each other. Well, it's her stuff and, you know, like going back and forth on it. So if they're responsible for their own individual stuff and they have an actual place where everything goes, everything needs to have a home. Because without that, then it gets really confusing. And then just making sure that they're all at the level that they can reach.
The accessibility, yes. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I know we've had stair, like step stools kind of throughout the house when they were really little and, you know, trying to get up to counters. And now they're tall, but then I realize they still kind of need like a step for their closet. We haven't gotten around to putting in like two poles in their closet. So we're really behind on that.
Well, and Christine, I'll say, now that I have a girl, I understand that girl things need to be hung more often than not, just the way they are. But what we've largely tried to do is get drawers inside the closets at those lower levels. And then the kids just lay their clothes flat in the drawers. And I have labels on the drawers that they can read. So, you know, if it doesn't necessarily have to be hung, we don't. And it's easier for them.
Now, I was just curious. So, Brandy, do you have separate drawers for each kid? How do you do that?
For the identicals, I do not. They share and share alike. So there's a drawer of long sleeve shirts and short sleeve shirts and pants and jeans and short, you know, you get it. You get the idea. But for the boy girl, I do. I have one column of drawers is for all of the girl clothes and one column is all for the boy's clothes.
Okay. Yeah. So that's clearly labeled. And this is your side. This is his side.
Yes. And we actually went really inexpensive and bought some of the plastic drawers that you can buy at a home improvement store or a big box store so that we didn't have a large investment into furniture in the closet. We just went with the plastic tubs. And then I figured when they were done using those, maybe they morph into the playroom or maybe for some of their school supplies or something.
That's smart. I love the idea of repurposing things. We buy a lot of stuff up front. Let's keep using it in a different way. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, exactly. I was going to say, so Rachel, I mean, now that as school age kids, we've kind of talked about sort of from the decorating standpoint of having sort of neutral, you know, theme walls and then using the decals and things. Are there any kind of fun themes for more that like the school age kids that have been really popular?
I would really play as to into what it is that they're liking at the moment. So if they're really in, no, we'd go back to space, but if they're really into learning about that or nature is a good one to fall back on. There's another one that's, you know, like so happy together, you could say, and those could be based on complementary colors. So maybe we base it on, you know, whose favorite, you know, one color is favorite and another, making sure that they work together. But that would be fun to kind of play off of that. And then we bring in accessories and art that go in with the color theme, because they change their mind so often. We don't really want to get too themey, I guess. So it's a little bit more broad. It's more about bringing in different parts of their personality into the space.
Yeah,
and all of us here in our conversation right now, we all have school aged children, right? So here's something that I was thinking of, looking for bedding going into that next phase of life for my little two. Backpacks get thrown on their beds, even though that's not where they go. They end up there all the time. And shoes end up on the bedding all the time with my boys. So something I caught myself just the other day was looking at, you know, either the princess or the ballerina or whatever these themes are that I'm looking at. And they were all beautiful and white.
Oh, I was like, what are they thinking?
I thought, don't do it. Don't get sucked in. Don't do it. I need to think about the darker colors because these have to last a while.
Yeah, or even if you do it, maybe we put a throw at the end of the bed. So if anything does get thrown on it, it goes on the throw, then that can go in the wash.
Yes.
I'm so with you. My girls' challenge is they do gymnastics and they like to end up doing things on the floor and they like to go outside and do cartwheels. And so their feet are dirty and their pants are dirty and it just ends up coming in. It's like, oh, I mean, thank God for OxyClean, but yeah, I am so with you on let's maybe not do the really light and bright pastel-y kind of colors that just don't clean up well. And like, ugh. And I think, Rachel, to your point earlier about, you know, having a throw rug that you can change out. It's not a huge investment and you can have, you know, different colors of like a throw rug, which creates kind of an accent color and use it for a few years and you don't feel bad when it's all worn out and dingy. It's like, okay, time for a new one.
Right. Yeah, it's time to move on. But yeah, even with art, like if there is something that they're really into, like My Little Pony or whatever it is, maybe we frame a poster or we frame, you know, something cute or something that they've colored or kind of incorporating anything that they've made that they really like.
You know, and also now I just also wanted to touch on too, when we talk about sort of kids at this age, school age kids and their interests. And yeah, I totally agree that I think they're changing out. They're interested in butterflies one day. And then it's like, oh no, I don't like butterflies. I like dragonflies. It's like, okay, great. But I don't know. I mean, maybe even Rachel, from your experience, I mean, how do you get kids engaged in the process of designing their room and finding things that they don't get tired of or, you know, we can agree on?
Yeah, so what I would do, I mean, they like choice. I would pre-select three choices for them to go from, especially with the twins. If you've got the space and one wants something that's way out here and the other person wants something on the other side of the spectrum, but together they kind of fight. But if you pre-plan where you go, okay, these are the three that work for you, these are the three that work for you, and then knowing together that any one of those that they choose is going to work together is just about the pre stuff, but still giving them a choice. So they still feel like they have an option, but I would just limit the.
Here's your three. I mean, I don't, Brandy, how about you? Have you talked to your older set about that?
No. I didn't give them a choice the first time we surprised them with big boy beds and I had everything purchased and prepared. And, you know, what kid in my house didn't love a dinosaur back then? So we were all good. But this time around with the boy girl twins, I'm actually letting them have a little, I'm doing exactly what Rachel just said. Yay. Where I'm only showing them the ones that I've narrowed it down to. And I sort of sell the one a little bit more that maybe mommy wouldn't mind looking at for the next few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if the choices are open and unlimited, it can get pretty hard and crazy. And
because it's kind of like food. It's like, okay, you know, we sort of pre-select, you know, our food choices, and here's some range you can choose from. And so here you go. And then probably at some level, okay, it's, if you don't like the three, then you'll learn to like it.
Well, and I could just ask Rachel, because I'm in the practical aspects of looking for the bedding and redecorating the rooms now. Do you have any advice as far as a duvet versus a comforter versus a quilt? Those are all of my choices at the moment.
I like duvets just because they're a cover, and I would get an insert that's like a polyfill. Mm-hmm. So it's like a alternative to down so that you can wash them both. Mm-hmm. But with a duvet, you can get other duvets and switch it up much more easily than if you were to get a comforter. If you're getting a comforter or a quilt, you're kind of stuck with it. So if in the future you want to do another theme or whatever, you can still keep the insert, but just change out the duvet.
I almost feel like we have to break down what these terms are, because I think I'm picturing a duvet. So I think I understand that. What were the two, quilt and comforter? What's the difference between the two?
So comforter is more, I want to say it's more puffy. It's kind of like those bed in the bag sort of deals. And a quilt is more like those fabrics, you know, they're quilted together and it's a little bit more flat and not so thick.
It has all the stitching in it.
And all the stitching. Okay. It's just, it's more labor intensive, and you probably will get a quilt handmade, where a comforter is something more that you would find at like a Target or a big box store or something.
So I have to say, so I didn't do this with my twin girls, but for my two singletons that are older, they share a room. And so obviously they kind of had the same theme and stuff. And we started, when my first was born, we started with this kind of sportsy kind of theme. And I purchased a quilt, more like a quilt for him. It wasn't handmade, but it looked very quilty. Wow. Okay. And it worked really well. It has like basketballs and baseballs and stuff like that on it. And then when my middle guy, when he got old enough, when he kind of graduated from his crib and, you know, now they're in bunk beds, I just ordered the exact same quilt. And I have to say, I love it. I don't know if it's because they're boys and they're dirty. But I know the quilts are fantastic. If you have any potty training issues, it is so easy to throw those things. And, you know, they're like twin size or whatever, right? So you throw them, you know, in the washer, and it's really easy. You know, they come out looking great. Probably they were expensive to buy, I have to admit, but like, oh my gosh, that has saved me so much heartache, because the boys are so rough on in anything in their room, honestly, but especially their bedding. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the quilts probably last a little bit longer than, say, a comforter. They just have all that extra stitching and work that goes into them.
Yeah, it's, you know, I have to say, we've been spoiled. My mother-in-law is a quilter, and so she's actually made at least three quilts for each of my girls. And so they proudly, you know, keep it on their beds. And it was great that she asked me ahead of time, like, okay, what kind of colors do you want to incorporate it? So they all, it works with the general theme. So it's been nice. That's been sort of our accent colors. So it's, the walls are fairly neutral, but then we've got like a little, you know, kind of a stripe along the side, and then the quilts are kind of pop with the colors. So quilts are an investment. I mean, ours were a gift, but I know for handmade quilts, it really is an investment. So I think you probably do want to get something that you can live with for a long time, because it's, you can't really get them every year. Thanks so much to Rachel and our parents for joining us today. Be sure to visit our episode page on our website for more information about decorating twin rooms, as well as we have links to additional resources. This conversation continues for members of our Twin Talks Club. And after the show, we'll talk about when you should think about separating your boy-girl twins, maybe. And for more information about the Twin Talks Club, visit our website, newmommymedia.com.
All right. So we have a twin oops that I wanted to share with everyone. So this is a segment, you know, we always encourage everyone that's listening to participate in our show. So this is a segment you can get involved with. We all have those crazy things that happen while we're caring for our twins. And this is involving caring for little itsy bitsy twins. So right when they came home from the hospital, it comes from Brianna. And she posted this on the Multiples of America Facebook page when I posted something looking for twin oops stories. So here's what Brianna said. She says, this is nice and short. She says, I told my fiance to get the other baby for a middle of the night feeding. And he went to the closet, grabbed a flip-flop, and put it on the bed. Sleep deprivation at its finest. All twin moms know how it is. So not quite the baby, not the right location. Wow. And then he just sets it on the bed. I'm picturing this happening in my head going, oh my gosh, yes. The crazy things we do when we don't have sleep.
Autopilot, yeah. Uh-huh. Like, you're like, okay.
But a flip-flop? Like, not even like a pillow or something that is like the size of
Are you sure
a
he
baby.
Wasn't sleepwalking?
I don't just... say. I don't think he was. I just think, you know what? He probably just forgot what she said.
He's like, here, have a flip-flop.
Yeah, have a flip-flop.
Well, kudos to the mom for knowing the difference. You know, she's sleep deprived too.
at least she didn't take it and put it up to the breast. I mean, that would have
That's
been
an awesome story.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, Brianna, thanks so much for sending this in. If you're listening and you have a twin oop story, we would love to hear it. You can go to our website at newmommymedia.com, click on the contact link and email it to us. Also through the website, you can actually send it as a voicemail, which is great because then you can share your own story. So go to the website and then there's like a little banner on the side of all the pages on our website. It says send voicemail and you can send it that way.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Twin Talks. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals for expecting parents, The Boob Group for moms who give breast milk to their babies, Parent Savers for moms and dads with toddlers, and Newbies for newly postpartum moms. This is Twin Talks, parenting times two.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health, or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
How would you like to have your own show on the New Mommy Media Network? We're expanding our lineup and looking for great content. If you're a business or organization interested in learning more about our co-branded podcasts, visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah Baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.